I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all of our students and to our mentors and to all of the administrators of healthcare facilities who will be listening to this very important conversation. The purpose for this evening's call is to expedite the work that many of us have been doing to unite and bring about a convergence of sound and healing modalities for humankind at large. This is not something that is new. Music and sound for healing has existed throughout the ages, in ancient Egypt, ancient Greece, ancient Asia, and in our own native indigenous cultures. We will hear how the established modalities and training programs have derived their knowledge from the past, such as the healing practices of the hospices and the monasteries of Cluny, France. We will hear the beginnings of people coming together in the 1950s to bring awareness to the power of music and sound, establishing the music therapy associations. But before we hear from each of the modalities, I have invited Joshua Leeds to give us an overview. Joshua Leeds is a composer, a producer, and a sound researcher. He is one of the few published authorities in the exciting new field of psychoacoustics, the study of the effects of music and sound on the human nervous system. Since 1986, he has produced more than 25 recordings, collaborating with leaders in health, psychology, and neurodevelopment. Co-creators include Louise Hay, Andrew Weil, Bernie Siegel, Anna Wise, the Advanced Brain Technologies, and Archangelus Chamber Ensemble. Since 1991, Joshua has published numerous magazine articles focusing on the therapeutic applications of music and sound. He is the author of Sonic Alchemy, Conversations with Leading Sound Practitioners, and The Power of Sound, How to Manage Your Personal Soundscape for a Vital, Productive, and Healthy Life, and the book Through a Dog's Ear. Joshua is the co-founder and director of Applied Music and Sound. He is one of the motivating forces and inspirational leaders of the Sound and Music Alliance. So right now, I would like to welcome Joshua. I have asked you to give a brief overview today of why sound work and music are so important in our healthcare facilities. We're really excited to have you speak with us today. You're on.
Thank you, Tina, and hello to everybody. Isn't this marvelous that people all around the world have the opportunity to be able to gather in real time and to be able to share in inquiries that we choose to take our most valuable asset, being time, to delve into. I have a very interesting perspective at this point on the field of intentional music and sound. In 2000, I published a book called The Power of Sound. And 10 years later, I released an updated second edition, a revised version of it. And when the publishers asked me to do this project, then I thought, boy, this would actually be a very interesting thing to go back and to look at what had taken place between 2000 and our 1998, when I first started to write the book, and 2009, when I set out to revise it. And, you know, when I finally finished, after a year of reviewing all the research that I could come across and reviewing everything that I could find that had to do with how it is that music and sound is being used intentionally from the most cutting-edge vantage points to the most common sit-in-your-living-room, sing, chant, hum, play a didgeridoo, play a Tibetan bowl. Within the entire panoply of utilization of music and sound, not only did I find that it was alive and well, but I found that passionate little pockets of people here and there were taking advantage of the social media and taking advantage of teleconferencing and taking advantage of organizations that were coming together to be able to further our deep and true devotion to bringing the concept of intentional usage of music and sound into a mainstream context. In the process of finalizing the revised edition of The Power of Sound, I wrote a preface. It was the last thing that I did before I sent it off to the editors. And I would like to just read a little bit from that, if you don't mind, because I think that it really nails down why it is that I've taken my time to revise this book, and why it is I think that all of us have devoted so much of our life energy to the bringing forward of this extraordinary energy force on our planet. For the last couple of years, I've been writing this revised edition of The Power of Sound, Googling, reading, comparing, interviewing, compiling, writing, and editing, all in the service of understanding the current state of sound work in America. I've discovered that not only is the community of intentional music and sound alive and well, but it has never been better. And why? Because this field is poised to come into its own, to take a seat at the table of respected modalities of positive effect. Well, what does that mean, and why now? I believe that 2011 begins the decade of sound. Those of us who are called to travel in this currency of resonance are actually inadvertent hitchhikers on the backs of neuroscience. Beginning in the early 1990s with the advent of high-tech images produced through new techniques such as magnetic resonance imaging, MRIs, scientists were able to look at brain function in real time in a way never before seen. As more of these extraordinary machines became available, varied aspects of neurologic perception were examined. Music, of course, would be one of the elements of study. How could it not be? As researchers began to explore how and why sound and music affect us the way they do, cross-culturally and generationally, scientists discovered that the cognitive interpretation of music is so complex and uses so many different parts of the brain that the study of musical neuroscience could actually provide a new model for the study of cognition in general. How lucky for us in this field of sound work. Our culture at all levels will now have an empirical understanding of what wise men and healing women have known forever. Sound and music itself, the most glorious sculpting of sound frequencies, are gifts like water and air, flowers and children laughing. We could not live without this presence that goes so beyond words into the limbic system of pure feeling and emotional sustenance. As I have done this research, there is a particular research project that has been underway in Spain that I would like to speak about. A team is looking at the influence of music on the behavior of neural stem cells. Now, this concept is breathtaking. The study of stem cells is such a leading-edge concept, and already intrepid music researchers are looking at whether music can be used to stimulate stem cell growth. Nessa Navarro, the primary researcher, says, "The idea that music has a therapeutic function is going through a rapid transformation based on research done in neuroscience. Scientists are attempting to clarify its neurobiological basis and finding that music has an influence on learning, animal behavior, or brain functions in animals. It is believed that by knowing how music affects animals, this will provide an important insight into how music could also affect humans. Based on a reliable experimental design, the preliminary results of our research have shown that music seems to have a direct and specific effect on cellular behavior, which is made clear by cellular survival activation, as well as the reproduction and neurogenesis mechanisms." So wouldn't you know it, music once again encourages reproduction, and now the formation and development of nerve cells. It is a very good time to be in this field of sound work, whether or not that is involved in music therapy, in music healing, in sound healing, or in sound therapy. Because of the new understandings provided by the emerging field of music neuroscience, lines become blurred between music and sound therapy, therapeutic bedside musicians, and expressive arts therapists, and research of music and medicine professionals in these fields realize that this is a timely opportunity to forge new networks, much as neural stem cells do, allowing for regeneration and renewal. The meeting tents are forming, and our field is alive and well, poised and ready to rock. Even Van Morrison wrote a song released in 2008 entitled, That's Entrainment. I guess we've arrived. So for me, my friends, the amazing thing about being involved at this time is that there is now this thing called music neuroscience. All the lines, as our music neuroscientists study the effect in real time of music and sound on the human nervous system, the lines are becoming blurred. And it is all that much more of a reason for people to begin to gather together, to be able to talk about what it is that we share in common, to come together to be able to look and to understand what it is that each of these different cousins in this field of intentional music and sound have discovered, what it is that we are excited about, what it is that we don't know, and what it is as adults, passionate, striving, inquiring adults, we want to find out. It's an extraordinary time to be in a very, very deep field. You know, in the course of the last couple of years, they found in Germany a bone that was made into a flute. It was a bone from a swan. They estimate that it was 34,000 years old. We all know the cultural significance of music. We all know the sociological significance of music. We've just watched it once again at Liberation Square in Cairo, Egypt, as people kept on bringing out drums and musical instruments and tambourines, using resonance, using entrainment as a way to be able to keep a peaceful endeavor for a better life. And isn't that what we're all involved in, whether or not we're music thanatologists, or whether or not we're tomatis practitioners, or whether or not we are didgeridoo players, or whether or not we are harp players, or we work in vibroacoustics? Isn't that really what we're all coming to bring forward? A harnessing of this most extraordinary energy, like the sun, like water, like air, that we can either just take for granted, or that we can study and that we can feel into, that we can sit with, that we can bathe ourselves with. You know, I'm spending a lot of my time right now working in a field called M-Health. M standing for mobile. And as we all look at these mobile devices, the smartphones, that have the ability to be able to sync us up all around the world within an instant by use of cell lines, cellular lines, I can't help notice the metaphor between Nathan Navarro's work with neurostem cells and then the concept that the way that we're all connected through these cellular telephone lines. The idea that how is it that we can use these cutting-edge, leading-edge devices to be able to help us with our health. There's an institute in the San Diego area that has got $87 million earmarked for the study of M health. As I design programs for cancer treatment or for pain reduction or for anxiety or depression support or for cancer support, pre-surgery, all to be developed through these smartphones, I just realized that there is no limit to the way that vibroacoustics could even be delivered through a smartphone, to the way that we can dial up if we ever have an interest in and a need to know. What is it about this code of ethics? I don't quite remember it. Maybe I'll just get right on my cell phone, on my smartphone, and I'll dial right into the Sound and Music Alliance. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to segue right now into something that is indicative to me of how and in which way music and sound is coming forward into our culture. It is behind the development of the wonderful new organizations that are coming together, whether or not it's the Sound and Music Alliance, or whether or not it's the National Standards Boards for Therapeutic Musicians, or the International Association for Music and Medicine. We're all taking the steps that are appropriate for a growing field. We're not reinventing the wheel. Every field, as it has matured, has ended up with organizations that are designed to be able to support them, to be able to help to refine the message, to bring a sophisticated approach into a wider distribution within our cultures so that people understand who it is, why it is that we care what we do, and how it is that we can move forward to create the most wonderful alliances. So I wanted to take just a moment to be able to read just a few in my remaining 2 minutes. A few of the planks of the mission statement of the Sound and Music Alliance, and I urge everybody to come on up, to come up onto the website and take a look at soundandmusicalliance.org. But to me, this really encompasses what it is and why it is that we feel the way that we do and will continue to press forward in the course of our lives and in the education of the generations that are coming up behind us. The opening statement of the Sound and Music Alliance is that SAMA is an interdisciplinary alliance that promotes our mutual interest in the intentional use and transformative power of sound and music throughout the full spectrum of life cycles. The ending piece of the mission statement of the Sound and Music Alliance is that SAMA acknowledges the timeless bond between sound and life, and honors the indigenous, traditional, historic, scientific, and aesthetic wisdom from which sound and music methods, practices, and knowledge evolve. I'm so pleased to be on this call with everybody tonight, and I'm so pleased to consider you all to be a part of the tribe, a part of the community that knows no beginning and knows no end. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joshua. For sure, the power of sound and music can be so beneficial to all our people in hospitals and hospices, and for those even using music for prevention, working towards that state of well-being. Thank you so much for your insights and guiding us to look at SAMA, the Sound and Music Alliance, for our kind of good housekeeping seal of approval of people and programs.